If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. Happy Monday afternoon. It's a beautiful Monday here in Chicago along Michigan Avenue. The tulips are popping in the median, and Will Flanagan and Jim Dahlke, the boys from Chicago Inno, were just admiring the tulips out on Michigan Avenue, and they join me in the studio now.
Always.
Welcome. And it's, you know, Jim, it's a big deal because we're with the Boston Kid on Patriots Day. They're running the marathon, and do you miss
That's it? Right. No, this is the longest I've been on 2 feet during a Patriots Day in a long time. This is exciting.
Glad you're with us. Yeah.
Howard Tolman was here last week, the CEO of 1871, and they got a big announcement this week. They're expanding, right? Who wants to take that?
Yeah, so 1871 is launching its 3.0 officially tomorrow, and that is basically taking it from when it started. It was 50,000 square feet, and now it's 115 square feet, taking up 2 floors in the Merch Mart. And what's really cool about this announcement is, you know, 1871 started as a tech center. It was a co-working space for startups. It served as this home to basically say, hey, look, there's a lot going on here. Come to this place, see all of the activity. And now really, it's really an ecosystem. What that means is it doesn't just have mentors and startups. It has homes for Hyde Park Angels, which is the angel syndicate in Chicago. It houses Chicago Ventures, which is a venture firm here. It houses EdTech Accelerator. So it really does, outside of just being a co-working space for startups, it has kind of all of those pieces that make an ecosystem ecosystem. It's not just the players, it's the supporters, it's all of the advocates that go into this.
Yeah, and its growth is kind of mirroring the Chicago tech ecosystem's growth just in general. I mean, you know, you know, Chicago tech is more than just, you know, a handful of plucky digital startups. Like, we really create an ecosystem of advisors and investors and, you know, serial entrepreneurs. So Options Away is another startup that's going into the new space, which is on the 13th floor of the Merchandise Mart, so then they've got space on the 12th and 13th floor. And this is a startup that's growing, that started in 1871, that will remain in there with a full office, not just a couple of desks. So it's really cool to see how the 1871 has evolved with the tech ecosystem.
All right, we'll watch for that announcement coming up tomorrow. I want to make sure we have time to talk about other things that you can read at Chicago Inno, and you should check it out. It's sort of a great introduction to tech issues in Chicago and what's going on. And one of them is this food waste company. It's Hazel Technologies, right? Is that the name of the company?
Yeah, Hazel Technologies is doing some really cool
things. This is an amazing thing.
And what's a couple of really awesome things about Hazel. One is it's comprised completely of Northwestern alumni and students, because it started as, you know, a program the university does where it basically takes people from all of these tracks and has them solve a problem, and this is one of the solutions that emerged. So Hazel Technologies is this apple-sized capsule that releases a gas that, what it does is that it blocks aging hormones in plants.
Let me use the phrase. It distributes ethylene inhibitors.
Yes, ethylene inhibitors. And what this does is it doubles the shelf life of most fruits and veggies, because 40% of all food in the U.S. is wasted.
Think of that, 40%.
And, yeah. And it's just like, you talk about tech. Like, what is tech for? Let's find a problem and innovate a solution for it. Food waste is a problem. You know, it's kind of fun to talk about ways we can get pizza delivered to us faster, but yeah, food waste is a problem. And to say that we've created this thing that can double the shelf life is amazing.
Okay, so as I understand it, it's a capsule. It's like a ball.
It's a ball.
And it's an
apple-sized capsule.
You throw it in the produce section.
Yeah, or
in
you
a
could
way.
Throw it in like the truck for the produce coming.
You're
to
talking
the store.
Distribution centers, grocery stores. You know, you're not going to put this in your home to.
Although
double
it looks
the
like
life
they might
want to
go there. They said they could maybe go toward that in the refrigerator.
Yes, they are starting B2B, but they are eyeing a B2C product as
okay,
well.
Okay, but so we're all about organic and natural and not chemical, and this is a little chemical, right? I mean,
yeah, but you know what? Chemicals are like, you can go around, but look at Chipotle, right? Like, Chipotle does that. We don't put chemicals in our food, and that's how bacteria starts. Hmm. So I don't know. There is obviously a fine line to this, but this is being developed by, you know, some of the world's best researchers, and making sure that we're not wasting food at a staggering rate is really important.
That's fascinating. It's called Fruit Bright. It's from Hazel Technologies. This could change the world. I mean, yeah. It could change the world if you think of how much food we throw away. And what it does, it inhibits the ripening of fruit. So, you know, grocery stores and trucks can keep this fruit around a little bit longer.
Yeah, and it just got a big boost, a big vote of confidence, winning $500,000 last week at the Clean Energy Trust Challenge.
That's a big deal, right?
Yeah, the Clean Energy Challenge Trust has been around for a few years now and basically gives award money to clean tech startups, which is a really important thing because clean tech startups have a hard time raising funding compared to your regular digital startup. And so this is a way to get some money to some more tricky investments.
All right, I want to talk as well about a story. Will, you wrote this story about this, what do they call? What's it called?
Hover.
Hover.
H-O-V-R. Yeah, very startup sounding,
right? And so we talk so much about tech. Actually, in the next half hour, this is National Letter Writing Month.
Oh, of course.
So we're doing a little retro tech.
I bet there's an app for that, though.
There is. No, there shouldn't be. But this is a very low-tech way to get exercise while you're sitting at your desk.
So talk about solving problems, right? Sitting is being identified as a real problem. The science,
Tim?
Exactly.
It's
calling as bad as smoking. Yeah.
The sitting disease. We sit way too much. So what this is, there's a lot of things that help you consciously address this, whether it's your Apple Watch beeping that says, get up, move around, or it's the QB, which is an under desk, you know, fitness equipment machine where you're constantly working. This is a device. Picture two pedals that are suspended about a couple inches from the ground. You put your feet on there and it just subtly sways your feet around so that you're subconsciously moving. It just forces your lower half to move a little bit. It's not distracting, and it burns 17% more calories than you move, and it's also helps for blood clots. And we talked to the company that's behind this, Hover, and they're working with a school in Chicago, and the teacher said they had their students using Hover, just wanted to keep them active, and it's helped all of the students with ADHD.
That's pretty amazing, because their body keeps moving and there's not a stillness to them. And you can read about that at Chicago Inno. But to describe it, and you describe it well in your writing, there's also a video there. But to me, it almost looks like the scales of justice, and you just put your feet on them, and you know, they don't move on their own, right? It's just the weight of your legs on
it. The weight of your legs.
You're always moving.
Yeah, suspended from two straps, either from under your desk or it comes with a stand. And it's just, you know, it's not an exercise. You're not moving your legs around. It's just, it moves them subtly.
And Will, you got a chance to try it out, right? And I was thinking about it, like, I might be kind of distracted if I'm trying to type on my computer and move my legs at the same time. But you said you found it to be pretty easy.
No, I was, right? Like, I went on and all I'm focused on is getting my legs, and it was distracted. And then we started talking about the product, and I completely forgot that I was on it. So it works. And it keeps you moving.
Pretty cool. Check it out. Hover, H-O-V-R. So we're going to have forever fresh strawberries, and we're going to keep our legs moving. And then we're going to go visit Howard Tolman at 1871. All right.
Check.
Comes together very nicely. All right, boys, nice to see you again.
Yeah.
We'll see you more regularly.
Sounds good.
Yes. That's great. Maybe the Inno boys will be in once a week or so.
All right.
Will Flanagan and Jim Dahlke, the brain trust behind Chicago Inno. It's 12:22, the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand. I hope you'll follow me on Twitter at Steve Bertrand or on Facebook as well, my page at Steve Bertrand. And I've got posted there the story about the fruit company that we just talked about that helps keep fruit fresher longer, one of the innovations coming out of Northwestern. So you can read more about that on my Facebook page, at Steve Bertrand. Let's say hello to Jennifer Jolly. She's on the program from time to time and likes to talk about what's hot when it comes to gadgets. Mother's Day is just around the corner. Jennifer, so is my wife's birthday. So we've been talking about that. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I have the perfect thing for you to get your wife.
Okay.
If you haven't already.
Okay.
That is, if you don't already have this, you will want it, so will she. It's the Amazon Echo, the ultimate smart home gadget. Do you have one yet?
I don't. I want to talk about that, but I brought up my wife because we're in the car yesterday, and she goes, you know, for my birthday, I could really go for maybe a Fitbit. And a Fitbit, that's one of the things you're talking about, right?
Well, I do have the newest Fitbits, all their newest gadgets that have come out. And I really like, for a basic tracker, I like the Fitbit Alta. It's an activity tracking bracelet. It has swappable bands in all the basic, you know, steps, calories, mileage. It has these little alerts that will come on and vibrate if you're sedentary too long. But it also has a little bit of phone notification and smart watch capabilities. So for the first time, really, you can have one of these very basic trackers. It does all the things that you need the trackers to do. Plus, you can get smartphone notifications, text notifications, and you can look at it and see what time it is.
Okay, Jennifer,
best of a smartwatch, best of a fitness tracker put into one.
Is this one of those things, though, that we don't really, that the need has been created? I mean, we all know we need to get up and walk around or things like that. Does the Fitbit really help us doing that?
Studies have shown that the Fitbit actually can help you. It helps you be more aware of it, helps you reach those 10,000 steps. And any time you're tracking that kind of information, it's top of mind every single day. So it can be a great motivator. It actually can.
All right, let's talk about this Echo, because I saw the commercial starting with the Super Bowl. And what's the Echo's name? Alexis?
Well, it's Alexa.
Alexa, okay.
It's a hands-free device. This device is a cylindrical-shaped Bluetooth stereo radio, but it also goes to work for you the minute you say the word Alexa. You can ask Alexa for information, to answer questions, play music, read the news, set timers. You can book flights, recite your calendar, check sports scores, and even control the other smart gadgets around your home. So this was one of my favorite gadgets of all of 2015, and if you don't have one yet, run out and get one. It truly is one of my all-time favorite gadgets.
Okay, so if I have Alexa, what else do I have to have? Like an Amazon Prime or Amazon? What are the sort of peripheral things that have to be had as well?
You have to have Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So that she can connect to Wi-Fi, and that's it.
And so I walk down the stairs in the morning and I say, Alexa, make my coffee. She's not going to make my coffee.
If you have a smart coffee maker that she can connect with and contact over Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, she actually could turn that coffee maker on for you.
And it's my stereo. She's my stereo speakers as well. Alexa, listen to WGN Radio, and WGN Radio would come on.
Yes, Alexa, play WGN News right now. Play Power Lunch, whatever you want, she'll do.
Alexa, order me more Tide.
Well, that she actually can do with Amazon Prime.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that technology is where it's going to be. I mean, there's no reason to wait for it to develop further. It is what it is, and it's something to check out now.
Yeah, I love gadgets that I use every day. And this is one of those that I got, and I was totally skeptical. We actually use the Amazon Echo every single day. We're using it more and more for more things. And even, you know, when I'm cooking and I say, hey, look up this ingredient, look up this recipe, or play, you know, Alexa, play jazz music, and a song will come on and I'll say, play a better song, and she'll pick a better song. It's that the way that she just kind of gets to know your, and I'm already saying she, but the way it kind of gets to know your specifications, what you like and don't like, is really nothing short of amazing. And this is the direction technology is going, and I think it's one of the most brilliant new tech gadgets I've seen in the last year or so.
All right, we got to run, but that's Amazon Echo. Goes for what, about $180?
Yep, $180 online at Amazon.com, of course.
Sounds like the sort of thing that you'll grow into, too, that you'll keep finding ways to use.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's some other amazing new gadgets just launched. We have the world's thinnest laptop, the HP Spectre. That's just come out. Thinner than a AAA battery, weighing just 2.5 pounds. That is amazing. And HTC 10 just announced last week, 48 is their new flagship smartphone with a 48-hour battery life. So
wow.
Lots of great new gadgets to talk about.
I appreciate you joining us today. Look forward to the next time.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And definitely a lot of ideas for your wife.
Yeah, Jennifer Jolly. And what, JenniferJollyBlog.com, or where should people go to see more from you?
TechNowAtUSAToday.com. I'll be putting these gadgets and tons more ideas up over the next couple of weeks.
TechNowAtUSAToday.com. Thanks, Jennifer.
That's it.
That's
Thank
the Biz
you.
Lunch, Shuns. You bet. 720 WGN.
Paperback writer's lunch.
It's 12:38. The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. All right, we spend a lot of time talking about the latest in technology, the digital age, instant communication, and all of that. Well, did you know that April is National Letter Writing Month? When's the last time you wrote a letter? I suspect that Patty Stracker has written a letter fairly recently. She is the director of the National Stationery Show. That comes up next month at, I think it's a Javits Center in New York City. But Patty joins us on a phone line now to talk about old tech and a new tech world. Patty, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
So how about that, the idea that you know, everyone's talking about what's new and the latest, and, you know, my wife and daughter get together on Snapchat and all of that. Is it a lost art, the idea of putting pen to paper?
I wouldn't call it a lost art. I would call it one that was underappreciated about 3 years ago when digital went absolutely crazy and there was a lot of things to play around with digitally to communicate, you know, in 144 characters or less, but people sort of tired of that, and it has fed back into a hunger for written communication and the desire for more personal contact with people in your life that you care about.
Something that's written down on a piece. I got a card yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I was at an event and got home, and there was a very nice note in it. And, you know, I think I probably appreciated, or maybe the word is savored. I probably savored that a little bit more than had it been just an email.
Right. I love that. And I think that's the common reaction to receiving something in the mail or hand given to you. It's a special, unique experience now.
Okay.
Where
so,
it, you know, used to be very common.
All that's true, but the fact is that this is a business too, and I think I read somewhere that there were 7 billion greeting cards sold last year. So, you know, certainly still significant, but you've sort of got your backs up to it because everyone likes to talk about the digital stuff. How do you continue to get the word out and to foster this idea of taking the time to put pen to paper when it comes to stationery? I know there's a lot more at the Stationery Show, and I want to talk about that, but I'm still just interested in this. You know, there's a lot about slow cooking now in this country, mm-hmm. and in a way, this is maybe slow communicating. How do you spread that and grow that market?
Well, that's a great analogy. You know, the show is filled with ingenious individuals, designer makers, and businesses who have really mastered the craft of creating products to help people communicate in a way that suits their personal style. And I think that the more design-oriented products that come into the market through clever and, you know, in innovative retailing, the wider spread the products are for people to use to communicate in that way. And so the way to really get it going is to have a dynamic show with buyers that stock their shelves with wonderful merchandise that consumers who are really hungry to find things that speak to them can walk in the store and enjoy. I'm not talking about the grocery store or the drugstore. There is plenty out there and plenty of companies that service those large vendors for, you know, for people to enjoy. But the small specialty stores right. that offer that experience on top of a great range of product, I think that's a big way of spreading it. And then a large organization like the Postal Service or the Department of Education talking about the importance of the written word and really having that resonate through mass communication.
It's almost like what bookstores have gone through, or in a way you're describing the local bookstore and the value of that. And I guess probably in a lot of cases, it's the local bookstore selling the stationery that you're talking about as well.
Absolutely.
Where are the growth now? I see that you can count coloring books among your industry, right? And that's an area been of huge growth lately.
Yes, indeed. That is the adult coloring trend has really taken hold, and it's a form of self-expression. It's a way to relax. It's a way of expressing a design sensibility and, you know, the ability for a person who doesn't see herself as artistic to, in fact, discover that part of who she is. And it's largely the woman who is engaging in that. But there's book clubs and there's adult coloring.
Oh, I know. My wife has been invited to coloring nights. It's kind of a funny thing to say out loud, but they do it and they enjoy it. And but you said she, and you're right that mostly it's women who color. How about when it comes to the stationery market or the show in general? Is this a she show, or are men growing when it comes to this?
Well, in looking at the manufacturers who make the products, there are a lot of men who are creators and owners of those businesses, and a lot of women who are similarly in executive positions or small designer makers who've started a business, and she is running that business. The buyers are largely women. The store owners are primarily women, and the consumers, as the end users, are 90% mm-hmm. women. That isn't to say that that isn't changing, but that's sort of the current view.
And so we're talking about, I'm going to use the word staid industry, which is an unfair word to use, but when it comes to compared to how fast digital is moving, maybe it's a fair word. Mm-hmm. But what is the trend? What's the growth area? What's going to be the big news out of the stationery show in New York coming out next month?
The big news is that ink on paper endures, that when the message really matters, it's paper, and the products that are doing the best at retail are the ones that, if they're not for a specific occasion, most popularly seasonal or birthday, then they speak to human circumstances, and they resonate in a way that is expressed through humor or expressed in tender sentiment with beautiful designs and wonderful color, and foil is really big, and beautiful, rich cotton papers that are letter-pressed with messages are also very popular. You know, messages of love and friendship, encouragement, messages that help deal with terminal illness or other life struggles, divorce, the loss of a loved one, all of these things are addressed so poignantly through greeting cards in particular, that those are the things that are selling really well, and you'll see, in big numbers at the show. Handmade is also very big. The local maker movement, very, very popular.
Patty Stracker is the director of the National Stationery Show coming up next month, but we're talking this month during National Letter Writing Month, so sit down and write someone a letter. Patty, it was nice to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Likewise. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You bet. You too. We'll take a break, and just around the corner, novelist Anna Quinlan on the Business Lunch on 720. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Novelist Anna Quinlan is in the studio. Her latest is Miller's Valley, and we don't talk to many novelists on the program, but, of course, longtime columnists as well for the New York Times and for Newsweek. And, thank you. It's nice to see you. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks.
Does it kill you that you're not writing a weekly column?
Oh, I'm so glad not to be writing a column.
You're happy not to be writing a column.
Oh, so happy. I mean, first of all, over the last 8 months, I would have been wrong more often than right, like most of my colleagues.
Right.
And second of all, frankly, I find a lot of this presidential race really dispiriting. I feel like it's tapped into some of the worst of the American character in ways that make me most unhappy.
How's it going to end?
Again, I could have been wrong more often than right. I mean, anybody who tries to predict at this moment who the Republican nominee will be and whether that person will prevail in the race, I think they're foolish.
Yeah, you know, so I'm talking to you on a business program about politics a little bit because of the novel. It's called Miller's Valley, and it's about this family who lives for 200 years in a valley, and a family named Miller, and their home is being threatened. And when I was reading it, it struck me that you were maybe not, I mean, this was before the Trump phenomenon, but in a way describing the disenfranchisement that a lot of these supporters or Bernie Sanders supporters are feeling. You're right. The majority of people of Miller's Valley were the most discontented kind of Americans, working people whose situations hadn't risen or fallen over generations, but who still carried a little bit of those streets paved with gold illusions and were always so annoyed that the streets were paved with tar if they were paved at all. Does that describe this election cycle's voters on left and right?
It describes some of them, but I think there are uglier strains on the right. There are strains of racism. There are strains of sexism. I mean, some of this has to do with the great changes in the lives of women and, to a lesser extent, changes in the lives of Black and Latino Americans, because you have a group of white working class men who 60 or 70 years ago got 100% of the pie, and now they get 70%.
Right. And they're getting less and less of the pie. Not just, I mean, we're seeing our income go down, our salaries go down. I think there was just a Washington Post story to that effect earlier this week.
And also the huge disconnect between salaries at the highest level and salaries of ordinary working people. That's something that's gotten so out of control that the push towards income redistribution was almost inevitable.
Yeah, and you know, when I did not mean to imply that you were the siren's call for the Donald Trump supporters, but I think there is that sincere group in there too, and I think that they're described by that passage in Miller's Valley.
There's no question about the fact that there are Americans who feel as though the country has changed considerably during their lifetime, and that even running as fast as they can, they can't keep up.
All right, so we talk about a work here, jobs, careers, things like that. You've been able to, I know you've said at times you've recreated yourself several times. I don't know if recreation is always the right, you're always writing, right? So you're always doing it in one vehicle, but you're always jumping. You were always moving from one job to another, sort of before the rest of us had to do that. I mean, that's the model now.
Yeah, I just first of all, I'm easily bored.
Yeah.
Second of all, I have a kind of a mortality mentality.
Do you?
In part because...
You do?
Yeah, my mom died real young, and so from the time I was 19 on, I felt like if you want to do it, you got to do it now. And I felt that about every subsequent job I had.
That it was the time to do it, or you might not have another chance.
Absolutely.
So do you think you'll live to see a woman president?
Yep.
I just thought I'd try one more time. Anna Quillen, it was nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you, Steve.
You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's a Monday afternoon, beautiful Monday afternoon. Bill and Wendy coming up just around the corner. A couple of things I want to tell you. One, we just talked to Anna Quinlan, and that was a brief conversation. I had a chance to talk to her at length last week, and we recorded it, and it's the latest podcast on Steve Bertrand on books. And it's the Miller's Valley. I really enjoyed the novel. In fact, I think it was the first novel of hers that I've read. But you can listen to her talking much more about Miller's Valley at Steve Bertrand on Books. That is at WGNplus.com. I'll tweet it out as well. But it brings up the fact that this book really was very much about home and growing up in a small town and keeping your hometown, living with your hometown throughout your life, even after you leave it. And that gives me a nice segue to say thank you to the people of Manteno, Illinois, my hometown, and the Manteno Historical Society yesterday at a very nice banquet down there at the golf course I grew up playing at. And they gave me a nice award, the Lucille Thies Award, and I'll treasure it. I really appreciate it. It was just great to go home to see people and to share stories about growing up and catch up with people. So thanks very much to the people of Manteno for that. All right, Bill and Wendy, just around the corner. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.